Welcome to the Enterprise Systems Podcast. I'm James E. Powell, Editorial Director for ES, and your host for this program. Every IT department needs to secure its production data, and every IT department needs to test new and changed applications with test data. The problem is, how can IT create test cases based on production data? How can IT assign values for key fields, such as credit card numbers or social security numbers, so records contain real values while still keeping all these test cases secure? We explore the dilemma of setting up a secure test environment with Eric Offenberg, Product Marketing Manager for IBM Software.
Hello, Eric, and welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing, Jim?
How is data privacy impacting the enterprise?
Well, today we're really seeing it. It's not unusual at all for governments and corporations. They're really collecting, storing, using tons of confidential information about, you know, all of citizens and customers. So typically, you know, the organizations are collecting this information for legitimate purposes, such as, you know, healthcare or social services. But given, you know, the internet, interconnected nature of the internet and information systems, personal data is easily subject to theft and really misuse. We're all aware of the headlines about the stolen credit cards. I don't think you can pick up a paper today without reading some article about the latest theft or data hacking, or even backup tapes going missing. So we're concerned that our privacy really can be violated, and you know, the unfortunate consequences that result from that. So for this reason, really, governments and corporations, very worldwide enterprises that manage data, they're looking for ways to protect that wherever and whenever it's used.
How does this emphasis on privacy then affect IT?
Well, IT really is the epicenter. That's where all of our sensitive data is somehow it's being managed, it's being processed, it's being stored. And, you know, our increased emphasis on privacy is leading to the increased emphasis and focus on the areas that touch this data. I mean, if you look at, you know, years ago when customers made a credit card purchase, you know, you made sure a copy of that transaction was discarded, threw it away, and it couldn't be used by someone else. Well, today, once, you know, you give that credit card number electronically, it's processed and then it's stored and then replicated in several other operating environments managed somewhere within, you know, a large IT infrastructure. So really, in essence, it's difficult to really protect your credit card number past that actual point of sale. So the onus of protecting it falls to that IT group. And so they become the actual protectors or the guardians of that sensitive data.
Well, to this point, we've been talking about production data, but one of the requirements of keeping data secure is you have to keep your test data secure as well. I'd like to know what some of the traditional challenges are in application testing and how you see privacy issues fitting in with that.
Sure. Well, to answer this question, we really have to look at, you know, the nature of how test databases are actually created and used. You know, most organizations, they want to consistently introduce new applications or modify the applications that they're using. So you can obviously be testing a new version of an ERP application for something just to take new sales orders. So most often what companies are doing is they just take your production database that's usually pretty well locked down, and then what they do is they make a copy of that data to be used for testing. Well, what happens is that once you've made that copy in that well-protected production environment and put it in your test or development environment, then you no longer have that protection, you know, that was in that main production environment. So not only, you know, is customer data at risk, but you look at your confidential business data, you could even look at employee information. So application data needs to be tested outside of the production environment. So you really kind of run into like a conundrum here. Well, I need to make copies of my data, but at the same time, I can't have realistic copies of the data. So, you know, even if you look at that, sometimes happens, you know, multiple testing environments. So if we look at it, it's one area that we talk about the internal threat to data privacy. And what I'm really referring to here is, well, let's say you did make that copy of production level data in the test environment. Well, usually your testers and developers, they sign a non-disclosure agreement saying that they will be honest and not take any of that live data. But really, it's the non-disclosure agreement is only as good as the person who actually signs it. And then many corporations are actually doing business mobily today. So you might have a developer that's working on their laptop somewhere. If they have part of that testing database and they lose that laptop, you've just lost that data as well. And I think really that the biggest concern coming from the internal threat, and the one I hear from most corporations, is with outsourcing. Because with the nature of outsourcing, you know, it's a lot less expensive to perform, let's say, testing and development activities. So while a company overseas might be working for you to develop the application, they also require data to work with. So many companies just copy that live production data and send it overseas. And next thing you know, you really have no control over the data that left your secure internal environment.
Those are all scary situations. What are the traditional approaches IT has taken then to secure that test data?
Well, unfortunately, Jim, what I'm seeing most commonly is organizations really aren't doing too much about that, and they're kind of hoping that this area won't be recognized. Now, I have to say, though, it is starting to change. We're starting to see organizations starting to understand that, yes, this is a vulnerability. I've seen some smaller, mid-sized organizations, you know, create their own data. So maybe they start creating different names and different numbers. While that approach actually, it works for organizations when you have limited numbers of applications or databases, this really isn't the best recommendation when you're looking at like an enterprise, a large retailer, for instance. You know, enterprises require a focus on all the internal systems and processes, so not just one particular area of vulnerability. So then the approach I recommend is data masking. You may have heard data masking or de-identification or depersonalization, desensitization, data scrubbing. It's basically technology that's helping you conceal real data. Data masking, it's scrambling data to create new legitimate data. So it retains that data's properties. Let's say a credit card number from Visa, for instance, might be 16 digits and start with 4, and then the combination of digits would equal some algorithm. So it would be a valid credit card number, but it would not be identifiable to the person who actually placed the order. You would see sometimes there's random masking. You could create some different substrings of data. But it's basically it's used in non-production environments like testing and development and training across the enterprise. It's really the best practice to protect sensitive data.
Well, creating your own data seems like a massive task. Is the masking that you're talking about effective? Does it really meet regulations?
Yes, actually the masking, it's required. If you look overall, one of the major themes you're going to see something like Gramm-Leach-Bliley or something maybe like the PCI, the payment card industry regulations. One of the major themes is data has to be stored, has to be kept on a need-to-know basis. So then you have to ask the question, do my developers need to see the data and need to see live data? And so that answer is really, well, no, they don't. So by masking data, you're actually creating a different set of data, but something that has not been encrypted. So encrypted data is something you would use in your production database where you create like pluses and minuses and funny characters, whereas in the testing environment, you need real data. At the same time, let's say the nature of the way databases are created, if you change my name, Eric, let's say I change my name to Jim, all throughout the rest of that database, the related tables, all of the Erics need to be changed to Jim. And that's really where data masking comes into place. It's more than just masking, you know, one different field. You're masking all the related fields as well. And again, I mean, to your point, creating data, you know, is a difficult, it's a very time-consuming task. And this is really where data masking comes in.
But what happens if in your testing you're trying to interface with an outside agency or data source? I'm thinking of, for example, testing with SOA, where you may mask the data, but they may not have the same masked data.
Well, when you're as an organization, if you are providing, you're doing the application testing, and let's say you are providing that organization some of that data, it's your responsibility for any third party that you deal with, they have to have masked data as well. So you would give them not the live data, but the masked data.
So given all these challenges of protecting data in a test environment, what are some of the best practices you suggest in creating a safe and, at the same time, valid set of test data?
Well, that's, I mean, what I'm talking about is really with data masking. Now, specific techniques for doing that, you could use a couple of different ways. First, something called a lookup table, where you can have a pre-populated set of numbers, credit card numbers that are de-identified, and you could actually use them to switch out some of your current data and some of your current credit card numbers and just use replacement values. At the same time, you could use, there's actually some functionality that you have where you can create a new credit card number, so let's say a replacement MasterCard, or for that matter, just a replacement Visa card that goes into where the MasterCard field was. You also want to keep in mind, you might want to mask your name, you're going to want to mask your address, and even as moving beyond that, you want to look at the identification numbers that really have to be masked as well.
So where does Princeton fit into this test data environment?
Well, Optum, Princeton SoftTech Optum, and Princeton SoftTech is actually now an IBM company. We align that management of application data with the business objectives to optimize performance, and we mitigate the risk and we control costs. Part of Optum has data masking functionality where we can take the data and mask when you're creating a test environment or multiple test environments. And not just the, across one application. We're looking across multiple applications and multiple databases. Because right now, today, I mean, with the size, I mean, just looking at IBM itself, you know, 350,000 employees worldwide, you can just imagine the number of systems that they have interconnected. And that's a lot of data that they have to keep private. So that's really where Optum would come in those enterprise situations where you need to have that data protected, but yet you need that for testing purposes.
Any final thoughts, words of advice, or best practices you'd like to offer our audience?
I think right now it's something the insider threat is really something that has to be further examined. We're starting to hear from Gartner and from Forrester. They're saying 70% of data breaches are actually coming from the inside. So my suggestion to be, you know, take a closer look at where data actually exists once someone has a transaction with your organization and make sure it's protected both your front-end in a production environment and the back-end with your testing and development environment.
Well, Eric, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jim.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Princeton SoftTech, visit their website at princetonsoftech.com. For additional enterprise news and analysis, check out the Enterprise Systems homepage at esj.com. And be sure to check the Enterprise Strategies newsletter or the podcast section of our homepage for a list of our previous audio programs.